Let's open our Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Proverbs. And the study tonight will be the stewardship of words. The stewardship of words. The word stewardship, someone help me. Give me a little definition, a little input here. Stewardship means, or a steward is a caretaker, manager. All right, so God says we're a manager of our words. I've been reading recently, I read all the time, I've been reading an autobiography of Helen Keller, the girl that at age 19 months became blind and deaf. And so she went from seeing grass and water and things, and then the light shut off, and then the sound shut off. And she talked about all the anger she had because she tried to express herself and her temper tantrums, and she couldn't express, and people couldn't understand her, and she couldn't understand people. And she said the greatest day of her life was when her teacher came to her house. The one, she said, who would turn on the lights so I could see what people were saying. And it was Ann Sullivan who taught her how to read in her hand. And I read in one of the biographies of Helen Keller, one of the first questions she asked her teacher was, "What is his name?" And she wrote back, "Whose name?" Helen Keller wrote, "The one who made me." See, there's no born atheist. There's atheists that are taught. No one's born an atheist. And she wrote back, "His name is God." Helen Keller wrote back, "I always knew he was there. I just never knew his name." Isn't that amazing? That's a great story. So she learned not only to communicate on her hand, but soon she could put her hands on people's faces and their voice. I'd like to put my hand on some people's. But she could feel as they spoke and understand what they were saying. She could hold their lips and understand what they were trying to say. Soon, she began speaking. She couldn't hear herself, but she began speaking out loud. She went to college. She finished high school. She wrote books. She learned Latin. She learned Greek. She learned German. What an amazing thing. And so something we take very lightly, being able to speak, Helen Keller said it was the greatest day of her life. So this thing of communication, and I know cats communicate, meow, meow, they're talking. No, they're not. Maybe they are. Maybe birds talk, you know, limited. Maybe porpoises, you know, I get it. But no one expresses words like humans. We can in detail express how we feel, how we think. And so here it is. Solomon the king here in Proverbs is teaching his son Rehoboam. Solomon very wisely knows he will not be the last king of Israel. It's temporary. He'll be king until he dies. And there's another one that's going to be coming after him. He's training his son. If you're going to be a great leader, you have to be a good communicator. If you're going to lead others, you have to be able to communicate. If you're going to have a great marriage, you're going to have to learn how to communicate. I don't know if we touched on it in church the other night. Genesis 3, 12 times in Genesis, it says the word said. The devil said, God said, Adam said, Eve said. But guess what? That chapter is called the fall of man. Adam and Eve never said anything to each other in that whole chapter. To me, it's amazing. They had the gift of words and they never used that. When communication starts to shut down, whether we stop listening or we stop speaking, then whatever relationship that is, it starts to deteriorate. Is that the word? Deteriorate. Whether it's our relationship with God, our relationship with parents, our relationship with a friend, our relationship with a mate, communication is so key. So God, through His Holy Spirit, gives Solomon all this wisdom, and we're just going to cover several just common tidbits of wisdom on speaking to other people. So let's just look at that. Some of it will apply. Some of it you say, well, I've got that one down. Well, I'm doing pretty good. I never heard of that one. And so we'll just rush through these here tonight. So Father, bless now this brief study. Help us to be better talkers and use this power you've given us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in chapter 10 and verse 19. Notice what it says, 10:19. And the wise man says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth, that word means lacketh not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. So the blank is this, the more words spoken, the more chance of sin. The more you talk, the more chance of you exaggerating or telling something that's not true or telling something that's unkind or gossip, something you heard, talking down to somebody. So right here, Solomon says, be careful how many words you speak. Be careful. Number next, chapter 11, look over here in verse 13. And he says, a tale bearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. What's the blank here? Don't be a bad news spreader. Don't be a bad news spreader. And I want to say this to the kids here tonight. There's things that's called family things. For instance, if your brother or sister gets a good spanking, he gets time out. Like Faith would say, time out. And if they do, that's not your business to spread it to everybody in the church. Man, you should have seen my brother screaming, weeping, wailing, gnashing her teeth. Oh, he screamed like a little girl. That's not your place to spread that. That's family stuff. The wife is throwing up all night long. Probably the husband doesn't need to come to church and give all the details of how many times she threw up and where she threw up and what it looked like and the color and the texture. Just, you know, there's some things we just need to leave alone. Don't be a bad news spreader. Bad news spreads quickly. The gospel still has not spread around the world yet. The good news spreads slow. The bad news spreads fast. Look over here, please, in 12:25. These are just tips if we're going to be great communicators. 12:25. Notice the power of words. It says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. That means some people, they've got problems. They've got burdens they're carrying. They've got a lot of responsibilities. And it almost looks like their shoulders are stooping. But a good word maketh it glad. You know, I want to be that person that's saying a lot of those good words. Here's someone and they're heavy laden. They got a lot on their plate. They've had a tough week. They've had a tough life. They've had a tough year. I want to be the one that when I speak, I know just the words that helps their shoulders kind of pick up a little bit and kind of gives them a reason to keep going. That's what we ought to be. A good word doesn't have to be many. Here's another one here in chapter 13 and verse 3. He said, boy, the Bible sure is boring. No, you're boring. The Bible is great. The Bible is great. And look at this, 13:3. He that keepeth, and if you study the background of that word keepeth, I believe it means something like this, bolteth. Bolteth. When I had my neck surgery, Brother Chris, you won't like the surgery. Oh, they said it's the most painful surgery in the whole world. But when I had my neck surgery, I probably shouldn't have done it. I probably showed you, some of you got it. Most people didn't know what a disc replacement was, and I didn't. They were going to cut the front of my throat. The doctor actually slit my throat, pushed everything over, reached in the back of my neck, pulled out the disc, put in a fake disc, then stitched me up. Well, I had my wife order me these Frankenstein screws. You know, those big bolts that Frankenstein had? And I got super glue, and I glued them to the side of my neck. Because a lot of people knew, pastors have a neck surgery. And so I'm starting to get all these texts. How'd the surgery go? I just took a picture of me, bolts coming out. And it was like, oh, pastor, we had no idea it was so serious. And, you know, I probably shouldn't have done it, you know, but I thought people just think it's funny. And a lot of people thought it was real. And I really shouldn't have done this, and I probably told you. But they give you these little, I don't even know if the internet ought to be on, but they give you these little cups. And sometimes they just want to make sure your urine is healthy and things like that. Well, when they gave me my little cup, I poured my coffee in it and put some sugar in it or a couple sweet lows, a little creamer. And so I had to walk down the hallway. So I'm just drinking out of that cup. And the nurses went nuts. It was like, what in the world? And so he says, so that's what this reminds me of. He that keepeth, it means bolteth. He that bolteth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Here's the blank in this one. Never miss a chance to keep your mouth shut. If you don't open your mouth, no one knows if you're a fool or not. If you open your mouth, you may reveal it. But if you keep it quiet, you'll keep people guessing. 15:23, look over here. And this is what the king's telling his son. Son, don't talk too much. Be careful. It could be you destruct. When you speak, say something good to people. Then chapter 15 and verse number 23. Notice this one. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? So in the blank there, words should be timely. They should be timely. Sometimes it's not what we say, it's when we say it. As one Sunday, I was cutting up over here, and I said something like, hey, the pastor doesn't need a raise. And Curtis Williams, amen. I said, shut up. First time he had amened in years. I said, I think you got that one wrong. And so sometimes it's the right thing said at the right time. Something timely. Something timely. Quickly here, looking a little further. In chapter 15 and verse number 28. 15:28. Look at all the wisdom that God's given us to help us. You can't take words back. You say something when you're angry, when you're discouraged. Can't take them back. 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Notice what he says there. A righteous person studies to answer. Now, there's two applications. One, we need to study in school and college and trade schools so we have the answers. But also when we speak to people, we need to study their face before we answer. Are they angry? Are they discouraged? Are they upset? Are they depressed? You do realize it's kind of called re-entry. We'll see each other at church tonight. Some of us won't see each other again till Sunday morning. We're not the same people. We've each had trials, pressure, kids, school, work, commutes, bills, bad news, sadness. We've had all that. So when we show up Sunday, we're not the same person as Wednesday night. So a wise person, before they speak, they study. Has something changed since I saw you last? When I went on staff in Louisiana years ago, there was a good friend of mine. His name was Donnie. He was the police chief's son. So he could always speed in town and never got a ticket. Oh, you're Donnie. All right, we know your dad. Anyway, it was like a ticket. I mean, no ticket. And he was a buddy of mine. He was a great soul winner. Loved the Lord. You know, I thought he's going to be an evangelist or something. Well, I went off to Bible college. Donnie stayed in the church. He was an adult, probably 23, 24. I went off to college and I came back 4 years later. And my first Sunday, I'm preaching. Well, I see Donnie in the pew. I hadn't seen him in 4 years. I said, hey, I need someone to help me act this out. I said, okay, you'll be the Christian. And then I said, and I need someone to be the devil. I said, Donnie, you come up here. You be the devil. You kind of look like the devil. Come on up here. And you should have seen his countenance change. See, when I saw him last, he was on fire, a soul winner for God. I didn't know he dropped out of church for 4 years. And that Sunday was his first Sunday back. And now I've got him on the platform calling him the devil. I didn't study him before I answered. So sometimes it's better to be a little slower with our words, kind of figure out where they are before we speak. Is that some depth there? Okay. And so on your notes here, think before you speak. There you go. 25 in verse 9. Let's look at this one. And this is so important. And this helps with business. Whether you're going to be a businessman, a lady opening your own business, you're going to be a coach, you're going to be an evangelist, you're going to be a missionary, you're going to be a parent. All these are so important. It applies to all of us. But if you'll look down in chapter 25, in verse number 9, very few people do this, but here's how you're supposed to do it. 25:9, debate. That doesn't mean you have national television. One guy's going to prison. One guy can't remember where the prison is. It's crazy. But 25:9, debate thy cause with thy neighbor. Look at the next word, himself. And discover not a secret to another. So what's he saying? In the notes there, if you want it, talk directly to the person you have issues with. See, we don't do that anymore. With social media, with texting, with all the different media venues, it's so easy to say, let me tell you what I think about so-and-so. Let me tell you about them. And let me tell you about them. And biblically, if you have an issue, you go to that person and nobody else. If you got a marriage problem, you go to your mate. You don't go to the internet. You don't bash her all over the internet unless you want her to move out or want him to move out. You go to that person. That the reason very few people do this is they've never seen it done. Well, let me tell you about our neighbors. Well, let me tell you about this person. Well, I heard about that guy. And God says, if I got an issue with someone, I'm supposed to go directly to them. Nobody else. Nobody else. Okay, moving right along. I don't like that one. Okay, scratch it out of your Bible. Tear it out of your Bible. So here we are. Then let's look over to 26:9. 26:9. Notice this one. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. What's he saying here? He's saying, if you want to write this one down, a fool can't get the story straight. A fool cannot get the story straight. Many of our news media people are foolish. Here's what happened. They can't get the story straight. By the time they put it on the news, it's nothing like it happened. It's like this news media reports this story. This one does. Are these the same two stories? The fool can't get the story straight. And I want to say this too. Anytime you have an important message you need delivered, you never ask a child or a foolish person to deliver that message. Because if it's important and they don't get the story straight, it's going to be some hurt. Just a thought there. Number next, here's another one. Look down, if you will, in chapter 25. In chapter 25, in verse number 23, someone says, Pastor, people always come to me with gossip. They're always spreading bad news. They always come to me with it. Well, here's what you do. 25, verse 23, the north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. So when someone comes to you, well, did you hear about Brother Chris? Did you hear about Candy? Did you hear the latest on Brother Stewart? Did you hear? What we're supposed to do is to have this game face, this angry game face, where we just kind of look at the person and they go, oh. There's a reason people bring us gossip, because they figure we would love to hear it, and we would love to add to that. But if you'll get a reputation, don't go to them. They don't want to hear the scuttlebutt. They don't want to hear it. You get a reputation, they'll stop bringing it to you. Don't be a person that every gossip comes to spread the latest news. Because if they spread it to you, you know what's going to happen. Soon they'll spread it about you. And they will. Let's move right along here. I'm just hoping someone to take these things and say, I'm going to use this. Here's another one. Looking down in 25:11. 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Not gold, but golden apples, beautiful yellow apples in a beautiful silver pitcher on the table. Beautiful picture for a meal, a dessert. He says, how beautiful that is. He said, and a word that fits, fitly spoken is just like that. A word. Here's what it means. It doesn't have to be a lot. I was reading the story recently of Abraham Lincoln, his Gettysburg Address. Rewrote it many, 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 many times. Gettysburg was a cemetery. I assume you all know that since you went to public school, right? They did teach you this. We never got to that, Brother Chris, somehow. We were studying Mardi Gras parades or something like that, or Huey Long's assassination, I don't know. But Gettysburg Address that asked the president just to say a few words to help dedicate this cemetery where tens of thousands of Union and Confederate, Union, the North, the Yankees, Confederate, the Southerners, where they had killed each other in that battle, Gettysburg. There are still bullet holes in trees there today with lead in them from that battle. Our president was not the keynote speaker. There was a man that spoke before him. He was the main speaker. He spoke over an hour and a half. Remember his name? Lincoln spoke 2.5 minutes. They say it may be the most famous speech ever given in American history. It doesn't have to be a lot of words. Sometimes what you say, it could be a statement. It could be a paragraph. More important than lots and lots of words. What does the king teach us here? What wisdom here? So in 25:11, you do not have to use many words. Here's another one. 25:12. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. A reprover means someone that corrects someone. It takes wisdom to be a good reprover. So that means this: parents have got to be reprovers. Maybe your child is mispronouncing their words. You don't let them go through life mispronouncing words and embarrassing themselves. How often do you see professional athletes making $100 million and they can't speak the language they say they know to speak? They can't get their pronouns right. They can't get it right. So help correct them as they're growing up. A coach has to correct. A teacher has to correct and so forth. Here's another one quickly. Look at this one. 25:25. I really like this. Solomon says, son, if you're going to be the king, you have to be a good communicator, 25:25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Here it is in your notes. Always have good news to share. Always have good news to share. I guarantee you, if we started right now, if we just started over here with Melanie all the way around the church, said, all right, give me some bad news that's happened in the last 5 years. Boom. Well, the Democrats and this and the riots. And boy, we would all be on it. But if I said, starting over here, give me some good news that's happened in the last 30 days. Well, let me see. We have amusement park. Sonny, was that this year or last? Sometimes we're keen on all this bad news and we watch it all the time on television. But we ought to be a spreader of good news. Hey, did you hear? This is so-and-so's first Wednesday night here. Hey, this is so-and-so's first Sunday here. This so-and-so got saved this week. Boy, I just love hearing that. Be the good news spreader. Sometimes I'll look at someone and they'll be heading toward me and I'll say, give me some good news. And the whole conversation ends. You want to be someone that when you walk up, someone says, I bet they got some good news. Here's another one here. Look in chapter 26 and verse 20. Chapter 26, verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Years ago, there was a pastor with a Bible college, and there were some other pastors picking on him. They were jealous. So they had to find criticism. So they started saying, he doesn't have a bus ministry. And they had 25 buses. They didn't use the right version Bible, and they used the King James Version. The people on campus were not modest. But when I was on campus, they were modest. So they were just trying to criticize this pastor. Several of us got together, not going to name them, Tim Rule, me, Mike Johnson. We rented a full-page ad in this Christian periodical called Sword of the Lord. And we said, we live in California. We know this pastor. He's a good man. He does run buses. He does believe the Bible. They are a soul-winning church. And we said, print that. Well, if someone's in the magazine, they had to be contacted to see if they were okay with the article. They contacted that pastor. He says, don't run that. He said, just let it die. Leave it alone. Where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. Stop trying to fight back. Well, they said this about me. I know something about them, and I'm going to dig it. Leave it alone. If you'll stop putting fire on the wood, it may go out eventually. You say, well, how do you stop people once they start a rumor about you? Who are they going to believe? Here's what they do. People hear something bad about you. They hear it. They look at the person spreading it. Then they look at you, and then they decide who to believe. That's how it happens. So how can you protect your good name? Just keep living right. Keep living right. There'll be someone upset with you living right. They crucified Jesus. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Jesus said, has anyone convinced me of sin? Have you ever seen me sin? None of them. None of them could. Here's a couple others, and we'll wrap this thing up. Notice over here, please, looking in chapter 26 and verse 21. 26, 21. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. It means he's always in the mix. See, some people are like this. Have you heard the latest? I haven't heard anything. And then others, they know more than the people involved know. Brother Buchanan used to tell me, he was so funny. He'd say, the people in Florida know more about my church than I do. Some people are always in the mix. Tell me more. Have you heard? I like what one guy said. I've already told you more than I heard. And it's usually that way. Give you a couple more here. Here we are. Number next. Be slow in your words. 29:20. Be slow in your words. 29:20. The wise man says, seest thou man hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Chapter 27, verse 1 and 2. If you want to fill it in, don't brag on yourself. You'll find when people get older, tell me if this is true, you folks over 40, we were always better at sports than we really were. Man, when I was your age, I could throw a 70-yard pass. 70? Seven or 70? We were so good. I had a chance to box Mike Tyson years ago, but went into the ministry instead. Oh, brother. Look at this, though. Chapter 27. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. If you're good at something, let someone else brag on you. Don't be the person tooting your own horn. That's what Solomon is saying, son. If you're good, people will see it. They'll see it. Let me just give you these others just quickly. Next, a repeater destroys friendships. It talks about that in that verse. You can see it later. Here's another one. It says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. So the more you know, it's maybe the less you say. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, it says. Then I like this one. Look back, if you will, to 16. 16 and verse number 27. 16, 27. And this has got a good little application. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. What's that mean? Ungodly people are always looking for something evil to dig up on somebody. Why? Here's why. If I can make you look worse person than me, I feel better about me. But that's not how God looks at it. Anybody raised on a farm, or you lived on a farm for a while, you had at least maybe a cow, a horse, something like that. Well, it's something, I'm not going to try to be gross, but there's something that horses and cattle deposit in the fields. You don't have to ask, were there horses or cows here in the last week or so? You just know. And those deposits get kind of hard. They kind of dry out. But if you, and they don't smell after a while. But if you kick them, the odor's everywhere. Evil people keep kicking up the stink. But when they do, it gets all over their shoe. Well, that's deep, isn't it? It's almost a rap song. When they do, it gets all over their shoe. And okay, just give me the rights to the song and we'll split the profit, all right? Okay, let's finish up here. Just drop down here quickly. Where it says weak minds. Here's just a thought. Weak minds are always talking about people. When you talk about people all the time, pretty soon you get critical. Pretty soon you talk about something maybe they told you in confidence. Pretty soon you talk about how much better you are than them. Weak minds talk about people. Average minds talk about things. Great minds talk about ideas. Here's three words or three statements that are always encouraging. Here they are. I believe in you. You find someone that's discouraged and down, or they feel like a failure, those words will always encourage them. I believe in you. The husband's made maybe an unwise business decision and he knows it and he's feeling bad about it. When a wife can say, I believe in you, how encouraging that is. Here's another one. There was a teacher that had a girl in her class, and she happened to be hair-lipped. You don't see a lot of that here. I know many of the doctors here fly to third world countries and help people with hair lips and cleft palates. We had a boy in our youth group years ago that had probably 15 surgeries, hair lip and cleft palate. The girl felt very, very unlovely. And it was back when the teacher did the hearing tests in the school. And so she would stand at the door, and the student would sit in their desk, and they would whisper something from the door to see if the student could hear. So the lady teacher very wisely, here's this girl with the cleft palate. She looked at her and said, I wish you were my little girl. I wish you were my little girl. What a difference that made in that little student's life. Sometimes it's just words, just a few words, wisely spoken. Words have power, or they have words to do. Or what can they do? Number one, they can delight. Sometimes you can give the gospel. I gave the gospel to a lady today, and I was in some well-to-do neighborhoods. Then I ended up on a street where every person was either mentally retarded or educably slow. The whole street, I'd never been on a street like this. They lived there, and their caretakers lived there with them. Never been there. And I got to give the gospel to someone today, and they said, I have never heard it like this. You're answering my questions. Words to delight. Sometimes our words are too direct. Someone asks your advice. What would you do? I've got a decision to make. What do you think I ought to make? Sometimes your words are going to direct them. What college should I go to? What should I be? Should I date this person? Should I marry this person? Should I buy this? And then sometimes our words have power to destroy. Power to destroy. Before we speak, maybe it'd be good to ask these three questions. Is it kind? What am I about to say? Is it kind? Love is kind. Second, is it true? And then third, is it necessary? I'll close with this. My brother is a connector. You know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about this? Some people never make a phone call to anybody, but they answer it if someone calls them. Other people, they want to check and see how their cousin's doing, want to check with their brother, want to check with their sister, call the new convert. You know, they're a connector. Some of you are connectors. You reach out to a lot of people. Well, that's kind of how my brother's been to many of our relatives. So through the years, he'll say, you know, Aunt Pearl's daughter, so-and-so, you know, her son's nice. I said, I don't even know Pearl's daughter. It's one of your cousins. I said, well, I'm sorry. I never met him. Well, when my daddy died, my brother had felt like he had found our half-sister. We never knew there were any more kids but me and my brother. My brother had contacted her. Her name's Tammy. And he said, Mike, I really think this is our half-sister. I don't think Dad was always moral. And she would have been conceived a year before he got saved. And her mother described someone like our dad. Long story. I said, I don't believe it. He said, well, here's her picture. And she looked just like me and Tommy. About 5'2". And all she wants to do is meet us. She thinks Dad's her dad. So my dad, my brother, drove from Louisiana to Arkansas to meet her. And Dad said, maybe so. I was in that area of Arkansas during those years. It's possible. So my brother said, I'm putting it in the obituary. I said, Tommy. He said, little brother, it's not just about us. She needs to know she's important. So I walked up to her at the funeral. I hugged her, kissed her on the cheek, and I said, you must be my sister I never met. She said, I think I am. Sometimes just a few words, it's so important. Let's take the power of words this week, use them in our family to build, use them in our community to share the gospel. There's someone that needs to hear something real powerful from you this week. I hope you'll use them.